Thanks, Bob. Shall we pray?
Grant, O God, that what we hear with our ears, understand with our minds, and receive with our hearts, we may show in our lives. We pray through Christ, our Savior. Amen. Johann Jakob Schütz was the son of a German lawyer and wanted to study law himself. Schütz grew up in a Lutheran congregation pastored by Philip Spener, and Philip Spener was known for emphasizing Christian discipleship and Christian piety as a means of spiritual growth. So the first stanza of the hymn that Johann Schütz wrote should not surprise us in its emphasis, and I really think that it would be a great verse to put to memory for any Christian disciple who wants to grow in their faith. Listen to it once again. We sang it just a few minutes ago. Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. My soul with comfort rich he fills, and every grief he gently stills. To God all praise and glory. That's a declaration of God's reigning power and God's endless mercy. And it mirrors what we heard Bob just read from the book of Psalms, Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. And then later in the psalm, you were to Israel a forgiving God. God reigns, God is in power, and God shows his mercy to people on earth. That's the theme. The text of Schütz's hymn was written shortly after the Protestant Reformation began, which, by the way, I mentioned to the children as I read that story, was 500 years ago this month. In October 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral. And Luther's aim was to protest something going on in Germany at that time called the selling of indulgences. And a Dominican friar by the name of Johann Tetzel was the friar who marketed these indulgences to German churches. You see, in the medieval Catholic Church, superstition was rampant. Doctrines like purgatory were used to keep citizens in fear. And Tetzel fed on those superstitious fears and convinced people that their dear mother or their departed wife or their beloved children who were in purgatory were agonizing in flames. And if they simply purchased an indulgence from the church, their suffering would be eased. And Tetzel convinced many people that that was true. And his contemporaries, others in the church at the time, were not happy about the way he kind of distorted the doctrine of penance. In effect, Johann Tetzel became a salesman whose product was to cause a scandal in Europe and which sparked the greatest upheaval in Western civilization called the Protestant Reformation. There's a story, almost certainly more fable than history, that the leader of a gang of ruffians approached Johann Tetzel to obtain pardon through the purchase of an indulgence. And he asked him a question: will these indulgences forgive my future sins as well? And Tetzel assured him, oh, yes, yes, certainly would. And the young man immediately pulled out some silver and he paid for the indulgence. Later that night, confident that he was forgiven, he broke into Johann Tetzel's house and robbed him of all his money. Might be true, might not, but it makes for an interesting story. Martin Luther was the fellow who opposed what was going on with the sale of indulgences, and his 95 points that he nailed to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral were powerful arguments against them. Luther was a convincing salesman of his own. He was popular with the people and the prince, and soon all of his writings were being distributed throughout Germany for the people to access themselves. One of the solas that arose from the Reformation was sola scriptura, scripture alone. And it was Luther's desire that the Bible would be available to the common people. He worked hard to get it translated into the German language so that people could read and understand it for themselves. And it's very common for hymn texts during this period of the church's history to be very Bible-focused, as is the hymn we sang earlier, "Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above." Psalm 99 is one of those scriptures that surely inspired Johann Schütz, the hymn writer who wrote "Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above." The line that is the theme, you might say, of Psalm 99 is "Holy, He is holy. The Lord our God is holy." It's repeated three times in the psalm. We could have, therefore, sung the classic hymn of the church, "Holy, Holy, Holy," today as well. We know God is holy. But what does that mean to us? How do we respond to the holiness of God? Well, I think we can best respond by rearranging our thoughts and the manner in which we live our lives to be more in line with God's holy will for us. Great is the Lord. Exalt the Lord our God. Another repeated refrain from Psalm 99. Therefore, our job is to praise and worship God, is to gather in this place in order to lift our voices in song and offer to God our praise. Bryce Canyon in Utah is a beautiful place. I've never been there, but I have friends who have visited. It was named for a 19th century farmer named Ebenezer Bryce. Huge trees in the canyon are over 700 years old. The views are breathtaking. God's handiwork is awe-inspiring. But some people don't see it so clearly. Ebenezer Bryce was once asked what it was like to live in the midst of a pristine canvas of God's beauty. And Bryce answered this way, "Well, it's a heck of a place to lose a cow." Can you imagine? If you're going to learn who God is, what God is like, and what he wants to do with your life, I suggest spending more time praising the awe-inspiring grandeur and majesty of God rather than worrying about a lost cow or, for that matter, lost car keys or a lost smartphone, my friends. We sometimes have a sense of embarrassment about other people thinking we could be religious fanatics if we worship too much, if we're involved in too many things at church, if we praise God too often. I think that's a false fear. You need not worry about that. Because I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Old Testament saints, who angered King Nebuchadnezzar for refusing to worship him. They would only worship the living God. And the king got so angry that he had the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual, and he threw them in the furnace, and the fire would not touch them, because they were faithful to God. The writer of Psalm 99 gives us another trio to follow from the history of Israel: Moses, the deliverer, Aaron, the priest, and Samuel, the prophet. Jackie Mickles tells the story of the day after their wedding when the 4-year-old ring bearer asked his mother if he had gotten married the day before. "No," she said. And the little boy's reply, "Then what in the world was I doing up there?" Well, you know, that's true for us. Some of our activities, some of the time that we spend each day can make us wonder, what in the world am I doing here? What is my purpose in life? I think that Psalm 99 offers us a purpose. Our preparation for having a meaningful life is to get to know God and to live holy lives before God and to offer to God our praise and thanks. I'd like to take a few lines from Psalm 99 and place them beside the very last verse of Johann Schütz's hymn, Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above, to show how the hymn and the scripture proclaim one and the same message. The last verse begins, Let all who name Christ's holy name give God the praise and glory. And Psalm 99, verse 3 says, Let them praise your great and awesome name. What that tells me is that there's no other name quite like the name of the Lord. It is the most perfect word you can say in the Hebrew language. When you speak the great and awesome name of God, you speak a holy word, the most powerful word you could utter. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Today, let's thank God for his name. The second line of the hymn, Let all who know his power proclaim aloud the wondrous story. And verse 8 of the psalm, Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. We need to remember we have a historical record of how God interacts with his people, how he comes to us, how he judges us, how he forgives us and makes decisions about us. The lives of Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, God's servants, are great examples to hold up for us. So we can go back a long, long, long time ago and see how God has demonstrated his love in his relationship to his people. Let's be thankful that God hears our voice and that God has a history and a relationship with us. The third line of the last verse of Schütz's hymn says, Cast every idol from its throne. The Lord is God and he alone. And verse 1 of the psalm says, He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. A little over 2 weeks from now will be an election day. I'll bet many of us sitting here this morning don't have a clue about even one candidate on the ballot for that election day. That is probably because we know that elected officials come and elected officials go. But the King, the Lord of all, sits on his throne, and all human beings come under his rule. Yes, the nations should tremble when they hear this. He is enthroned between the cherubim, those angelic beings that guarded the entrance to the Garden of Eden and who now flank the throne of God. Let's be thankful today that God reigns, that he is our eternal King. And the very last line of the hymn, To God all praise and glory, the very last line of the psalm, Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. We come here to exalt the name of God, to lift high above the people God's name. God is not lowly, but not limited to the things of this earth, but is above all. Bob and I were talking earlier this week that in seminary, the terms that the theologians used were transcendence and immanence. Transcendence simply means that God is above all. God is awesome. God is indescribable. But God is immanent. God is near us. God is close. God is right beside us. Those things are true about God at the same time. They aren't two opposite things. They are complementary parts of God's person. We come here to exalt and be thankful for God's transcendence and God's immanence, God's awesomeness and God's nearness. Did you hear about the guy who got hit in the head with a can of pop? Don't worry, it was a soft drink. Here's what I think Psalm 99 is trying to convey to us. A soft and a hard reality about God. God is near. and God is awesome and above us. God is imminent right here, close by, and yet God is transcendent, high and lifted up. That's the God we have come to worship today. Let us be thankful and go out into the world with deepest gratitude. Amen. We have a response to God's word taken from one of the questions of the Heidelberg